And now back on to our astral body. Today we will concentrate on how to refine the body, the astral body, and the techniques to achieve astral control. Last month, we finished off on that note. What was the goal of the aspirant? And we found out it was to transform his astral body from a restless, tumultuous sea of storm of passion and passion to a sea of glass, limpid and clear, mirror-like, and one that accurately transmits the desires and the aspirations of the soul, not of the personality. So how should this be accomplished? So let's explore the various techniques that Master DK has given us. One is by the constant watching of all desires, motives, and wishes that we come across. One, by emphasizing all those that are of a higher order. Example, you all know, self-forgetfulness, compassion, respect for others, for their thoughts, no matter how irrelevant we may think they are, respect for people's feelings, detachment, etc., and the inhibition of the lower vibrations, which are selfishness, criticism, fear, worry, attachment of any sort, attachment to people, attachment to material things, as well as the sense of frustration that we don't accomplish what we set out to do. So all these need to be inhibited to a certain point. Two, by focusing, reorienting our mind to the soul, and therefore bringing his wishes or the wishes of the soul right down to our lives. DK does tell us that we will be making mistakes. No doubt about that. But little by little, the building in process proceeds and the polarization of our emotional body gradually shifts subplane by subplane until the atomic plane, which is the first subplane, is reached, because the soul can only control from that first atomic plane. Three, by definitely stilling our emotional body. And usually through meditation, and there are many, many techniques that are available, stilling the emotions via the breath is another one as well. Because stilling the emotional nature is the first step to then stilling the mind. And DK does say that we need to start at the bottom of the ladder, which is the emotional astral body that needs to be stilled first and foremost. Then every aspirant must discover for himself where he yields most, and usually it's through our rays, through violent vibrations such as fear, worry, personality, desire of any kind, personality, love, solar plexus, discouragement through the astral heart, and oversensitiveness to public opinion, astral throat. Each one of us has got a chakra that we are working on, so we will be more prone to all these negativities through this particular chakra. So it's up to us to figure out where we fail. And we must overcome that by imposing it to a new rhythm. In other words, imposing the vibration of the soul onto these or that particular chakra. And at night, but then this is not the work that we do, it's those who, on the inner side, who are responsible for our growth. And they sound and they use sound and color, particularly gold and purple. Gold to the heart and head, and purple through the throat chakras. And as you know, head, heart, and throat are the three anchor points for the soul in the physical body. So then there's no, we don't have any control on that. But if we send our intent to still the emotional body, then we will get help from the three disciples that are responsible for our growth and the unfoldment of our soul nature. They will help, but we need to ask for that help. And the fourth method is complete detachment from the emotional body. Easy to say, but very hard to accomplish. Yes. Remembering that love and emotion are not the same. Love is from the soul, and it is on the higher levels of the mental plane, whereas emotion is on the sixth astral plane. So two sets of vibrations, one much lower, much slower vibration than the other. But they are not the same. We really need to differentiate between love and emotion. And the ideal attitude is that of the onlooker, the observer, who doesn't identify with whatever happens on these lower planes, lower mental plane and the astral plane, the physical plane. So through discrimination, the mind learns to select the good, the beautiful, and the true, the three different vibrations of the soul, and then substituting that identification with the personality with those of the soul. And then through dispassion on the astral plane, the emotional nature is rendered totally immune from the appeal of the senses, and desire fails to deter the soul from its rightful task. And detachment on the physical plane is the imposition of a new rhythm or a habit reaction upon the cells of the brain, which renders the cells unaware of the lures of the world of sensory perception. And again, very easy to say that, but very hard to accomplish. But we need to start somewhere. And if I were to put that into a picture form, that's how I would picture it, as the soul being immersed in everyday life, mental, emotional, and physical, and radiating its energy so that it is in perfect control of these three levels. So the disciple learns eventually to know himself to be above everything else whilst we are in incarnation, the director of the forces. We don't allow, particularly the astral plane, the emotions to affect us in one form or another. And so these he direct from the altitude of the divine observer and through the attainment of detachment. As if he severs all these cords, if we can use these lines as cords that attach us, so if we can just snip them imaginatively.
Nicole?
So, yes?
Sorry to interrupt, but there was a question back on slide 65. You mentioned there were three disciples to ask for assistance from. Would you?
Yes.
And the question is, what three disciples is the question from Yvonne?
Right. DK tells us that we have three disciples with us. Now, we don't know who they are, or you may know on the inner plane. I don't know whether you know that or not. But one is on the astral plane, one that helps us on the mental plane, and one that helps us on the soul plane. So they are those who have passed away and who are within our ashram, and they've been, if you like, allocated to us, if we can use this expression. But we know that there are, it's like our spiritual family. And if we ask for their help, and that's what they are there for, to help us, but they cannot breach the spiritual law of imposing on us. We need to ask for help. And when we do, they are right there, ready to help us in whatever we need. So three disciples on the inner plane, but I can't tell you who they are, because each disciple has got a different disciple. Although I'm sure that there's not just one that does only on a one-to-one basis. I'm sure that they have several of the disciples whilst in incarnation under their care. I would imagine that's how it works. But these are the ones. Does that answer your question, Yvonne? Does that help?
Yes, she said thank you.
Great. So, what is this divine indifference, that detachment that DK is talking about? Let's allow DK to define it for us. That divine indifference allows the emotion or the glamour to die of attrition because it's deprived of the attention that we give it. So in other words, energy follows thought. So if we ruminate, we go over and over that fear or that worry or that whatever, maybe frustration or whatever negative emotion, all we do is that we are feeding it. So what DK is asking us to do is to detach from it. Don't give it any attention. Ignore it. And it will die of attrition. And the whole story of the true emotional control is found in that definition. Again, as I said, very easy to say, but so hard to accomplish. And to DPR, one of his disciples, he gave a visualization, which I'll share with you in just a minute. And he tells to DPR not to forget to love with detachment. And there, if I can bring you back to this, maybe this one, is to love from that point, not from the astral plane. that the ties through attachment are strong, particularly world saviors or Ray 2 are very prone to attachment. Mind you, Ray 6 as well, very prone to attachment. Now, these ties of attachment must be severed from within. So sometimes they can or they must be severed on the physical plane, but first and foremost, they must be severed and completely cut off from inside. That's the main point here that DK is saying. Different circumstances in life will force you to detach yourself from a particular situation. He doesn't dismiss these, but what he's saying is cut these ties from within first and foremost. That DPR's lesson is detachment. Mind you, the lesson for us as well as world saviors, the Ray 2s, is also detachment. This is our main problem. And so as we free ourselves from these chains and ties of attachment to either a person or to a place or whatever, our intuitive perception, therefore, will be released. Our heart center will increase in intensity and in vibration. And we will be able to see in terms of reality, what DK means by reality is the inner plane, the causal planes, not in terms of form. So no matter how high or purified, remember he was saying that on the highest astral plane, it is very purified. But it is still a form of a devic form that we allow ourselves to be controlled by. So here he's saying, in other words, identify with the soul, act as a soul, love from the soul point of view. And the effect on our daily life and service, if we can accomplish this exercise, will be far more potent than we can possibly anticipate. So here's
Let me just offer a couple of comments. Michael shared, he said, what you're referring to in his way of speaking about it is to think with the heart and love with the mind. And then Suzanne says, it's almost like we must starve the leeches and feed the birds, those thoughts and emotions that help us fly.
Spot on. And I like that that analogy, you know. What did she say with the birds? Free the birds. Is that what she said? Yeah. So that's a brilliant analogy, Susie. Starve the leeches. Excellent. And feed the birds, not free the birds. Yes, and I fully agree with you. And thank you, Michael, too. That's a great way of stating it as well. Think with the heart. But when we think with the heart, I think we went over this in previous sessions. We think as a soul, because the heart is the seat of the soul as well. The heart center of our being is the soul. This visualization was illustrated by one of our Brazilian student who has now passed away, Eliana. And that's how she illustrated it. But here's the visualization. See yourself standing to one side of the vast field of closed lotus buds, resting on their broad green leaves. Above you is the blue of heaven, and ahead of you, a field of buds and leaves, all green. And the far horizon is a golden gate with two halves of its door closed. Then picture yourself watching the slow opening of the buds until little by little the field changes from green to gold, as if they are responding to our gaze. They just open up and reveal their gorgeous middle center there. All that can be seen is a mass of golden flowers wide open in the sun. Then imagine yourself putting a foot upon the field and finding, instead of the mud and water, as anticipated, a firm path which appears before you as you advance, dividing the field into two halves and leading straight to the golden gates. And Ileana illustrated it as a golden path here. And as you advance along this path, imagine the two halves of the gate slowly opening as you go forward in confidence, looking at the gate, not at your feet, with your eyes fixed to the gates of hierarchy. And trust me, friends, I have done this for years and years. Not that I've achieved full emotional control, but from where I was, I could see, looking back in the past, the difference that this particular visualization has made. But the best method yet. DK talks about how can a man preserve that balance which will enable him to see truth, judge rightly, and preserve his mental contact with his soul and with the souls of his fellow men. So that's the method that he gives, the constant practice of harmlessness. Harmlessness in thought, harmlessness in speech, and harmlessness in action as a result. It is a positive harmlessness involving constant activity and watchfulness. It is not a negative or of a very fluid tolerance as we may think. And it's harder than we think. So let's explore that concept of harmlessness. So harmfulness is based on selfishness, on ego, on the attitude of the ego, wanting everything for itself. It's a demonstration of forces concentrated on self-enforcement, self-aggrandizement, and self-gratification. And the harmlessness, on the other hand, is the expression of the man who realizes himself to be everywhere. Why to be everywhere? Because the souls are one. There is that spark of the divine in every single human being. That's why DK is saying realizes himself to be everywhere. Who lives consciously as a soul. In other words, bringing the qualities of his soul into his daily life. Whose nature is love, whose method is inclusiveness, and to whom all forms are alike in that they veil and hide that little spark within. But are all externalizations of the one infinite being. of the one soul, of the planetary logos and of the solar logos. We are one with every single person. So harmlessness brings caution in judgment, reticence in speech, ability to refrain from impulsive action, and the demonstration of a non-critical spirit, so that free passage can be given to the forces of true love and to those spiritual energies which vitalize the personality, therefore leading to right action. So what harmlessness is not, it doesn't come from weakness or this very sentimental, loving disposition. It's not that harmlessness which dislikes trouble because it upsets the settled harmony of life, leading to discomfort. It is not the harmlessness of the little evolved, negative, impotent man or woman who doesn't have the power to hurt. It is not the spirit of criticism, of destructive discussion, and it is not non-resistance. But what it is true understanding and control of the personality by the soul that leads to spiritual expression in everyday life. So that demands constant attention, constant work. It emanates from a capacity to enter into the consciousness and to penetrate one's brother's mind. And then when we've achieved that, we are able to let it go and to forgive, and followed by a desire to help, because we realize that all souls are struggling down here. It's like everybody is trying to swim in deep waters and some sink. So we need to reach out and give them a hand, bring them back up to the surface. And it's a harmlessness that speaks no word that can damage another person, thinks no thought that can poison or produce misunderstanding, and consequently does no action that can hurt. And DK tells us that the achieving of harmlessness in its positive sense, as he's explained, means the attainment of that step which leads to the portal of initiation. So we can see the visualization that he gave. We can interpret these two gates as the portal of initiation.
Nicole, it's about the end of our usual time. Is this a good spot to pause?
Yes, let's do that. Because then DK tells us, how do we develop harmlessness? Yeah, we've got a fair bit to go. So we'll continue next time. And what I thought of doing is next time, we will concentrate a little bit more on harmlessness and on divine indifference, seeing that these are two very important techniques that DG give us. I think we will have more or less an interactive session next time. So bring your thoughts, friends. Bring quotes that mean something to you and share it with the group.
And one thing that Yvonne followed up on, she would like to know the reference related to the fact of the three disciples. I thought you might want to look that up. Maybe we could share that next time as well.
Certainly. Will do.
Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.